Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Reverend Guitars have kicked off 2021 with their first ever S-Type guitar. In true Reverend style, this cracker of a guitar features classic looks juxtaposed with modern electrics. Introducing the Gil Paris GPS signature model from Reverend Guitars. Whilst on first glance, the pickup arrangement looks fairly standard for an S-Type. In fact, each of the single coils is a Fishman Fluent single-width pickup. These can be switched with a push-pull tone control between two voicings, a vintage voice, the classic Airy 50 single-coil sound, and a hot Texas voice for a hotter, punchier, more modern alternative. Check out the GPS and all of Reverend Guitar's mouth-watering models at reverendguitars.com. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast, Season 2, Episode 6. I am your host, Joe Branson, joined this week by JD Short.
Hello.
Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Jay Cross.
What, mate?
Exactly. There you go, Jay. Continuing my trend of not putting you on the spot first so you have time to think of a response. You're welcome.
Are you just going to dub in me saying thank you there or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jay. I do look nice today. I appreciate the comment. In fact, everything you say from now on will just be dubbed in of me doing an impression.
Not even just like a soundboard from previous episodes.
No, I'm going to get a voice actor to play you, and then
is it going to be you?
I want. I don't know if I can do it. I tried it once before on that quiz.
Yeah,
we
I remember.
To do impressions of each other.
We've got very different timbres, don't we?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I think you're more sort of upper mids focused, like a really focused, almost like limited voice, as in like there's a hard limiter on your sort of upper mids. And I think I'm more of a broad... there's kind of a bit of a broad spectrum to my range. Because I can be up here, but I can also deliver a nice, close, reassuring broadcasting voice.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but you really should go into, like, voice acting or something. You know, I can just imagine you being like, hello there, would you like a pension? The pension man have many pensions on offer, but also you could be like, all right there, how you doing? Yeah, you want to buy a cardigan? I mean, I don't know. I assume that's what they get
Cockneys to advertise. Yeah. I tell you, I would love to do a pensions ad here at AMP Pensions. We've got your health in our hands. Like that, you know.
What does the P in AMP Pensions stand for?
I don't know. It's age and pension, I guess.
Oh, the age and pensions. Yeah.
Or maybe it's the name of the two people that do it. It's like Arnold's and...
Portenegger.
Protracted.
Portenegger.
That's exactly what it is.
He loves port.
He loves pensions. Port and pensions. That's his middle name. Anyway, this week,
Oh, this week there's a bunch of new things to talk about. Things that we're not going to talk about this week include probably the 2021 Epiphone lineup and the new signature Strandbergs, because neither of them made it into our little list of things that we especially wanted to talk about. But those are things that have happened. Last week, me and Matt finished the home recording series, season 2, a 4-episode miniseries. And my goodness, oh, the feedback we've had has been fantastic. Thank you, listeners.
People love two chumps who have no idea what they're talking about mumble on for 4 hours about someone recording at home.
Someone actually said that in the comments, because we obviously did the first series of this and feedback was kind of mixed. I think a lot of people felt that I'd gone a bit over everyone's heads in that I went and spoke to producers a lot of the time who started talking about the subtle nuances of mic placement. And you know, I think it was just maybe a touch too extreme. And someone pointed out in the comments, they were like, there you are, all we needed to make this series good was to find someone for Joe to talk to who knew less than him. Which was
maybe what you've done now, though, is you've season one is actually season two. You know, what you've done is you've created season one early.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a taster for where people will end up after they have mastered the techniques that they will learn having listened to season two.
You're absolutely right, and that's completely what I intended. So,
yeah,
dear listener,
sure,
feel free to go back to season one later down the line. But yeah, it was really good, Matt. We had a great time making a song. I was really happy with the song as it finished as well.
Yeah, so was I. And now I want to, you know, attempt to actually try and do some music. Put some pen to paper, finally.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we are.
And worth pointing out also, it was old Matty Knight's birthday this week.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You get anything, get any cool music stuff, mate? Get any, like, I don't know, like sheet music or yeah, pens to write lyrics with or anything like that?
Blank tab, you know, just write my own tab.
Yeah, blank tabulature paper.
You know, 355, you know, bit of a G power chord, you know, up to an A power chord, you know, classic.
Okay, you're talking my language. I've got this song sounds great.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I got no music stuff for my birthday. What did I get? Forgotten already.
I mean, it sounds like you got, you know, half of the South Coast's beer delivery.
Yeah, I got a lot of beer.
Thankfully.
You know, bit of artwork. And a game for the Nintendo Switch.
I'm glad I sent that to you. I had to sit for hours for that artwork.
Again, Joe, you say that like that isn't something that you have already done. I forgot about that. Until you posted it on Instagram or something, or just
on
Facebook?
That's it, on Instagram, yeah.
You absolute Wally, honestly.
I genuinely found it the other day. It was sort of still unframed in my garage, and I was like, I really need to get this up on a wall. It's very good. My for listeners who don't know, as we didn't clarify, I had a portrait painted of my face,
like Henry VIII or something.
yeah. I need to get it on a wall somewhere. Anyway, Matt. Yes. So no music related stuff for your birthday.
No, I think Amy would probably not like more stuff in our one bedroom apartment. It's already pretty full. I really could do with some more space.
Go on,
I was gonna say, like, I was just thinking about this when you were talking about like the blank tablature paper, but like one thing that would be pretty cool is if there was like tablature paper or something like that, but also had space for like effects and effects settings. And things like that, you know, like if you had tab and it would be like, oh, this is chorus with blah, 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 you know, like here's all my parameters for that, like as you're like sort of changing and keeping track of everything. Like
it would be one of those things you'd look back through and go, like, time to record, probably like dig out some of the notes that I've written, and then you just look through it and it's just all pedal segs. I've written no music for 5 years.
Yeah. But you've dialed in a great chorus.
But I've dialed in. But the thing is, with all of those times, you're in the moment, you listen to it. Oh, what a great setting. I remember that one. Dial it in again, and then you're like, sounds rubbish. yeah, so no, but good idea.
Well, JD, I think you found the secret as to why mxtabs.net never survived.
Yeah.
No effects settings option.
What is mxtabs.net?
That was like the tab website that I used when I was, I don't know, however old I was when I was, I mean, I say however old I was when I was looking up tabs. I was literally looking up tabs this afternoon. So, you know, but I was using Ultimate Guitar or whatever the big one.
MX Tabs have their own wiki page.
Do they?
Yeah.
Great website.
On October 10th, 2011, mxtabs.net shut down and redirected all traffic to Songster with two R's.com.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Songster's great. Like for those, like I send loads of people to that because it's also got like MIDI play along and stuff like that without needing to do anything else.
Oh, really?
Without needing to have like Ultimate Guitar Pro or anything like that. Like a lot of the tracks there, you can do it, and some versions you can sort of select which instrument, so it'll have everything like in the same page. Be like, oh, do I want to play guitar one or guitar two or bass or anything else? So like a lot of the stuff's like, it's pretty cool. It's one I prefer to go to. Actually, does it? I can't remember if it actually has notation as well as just like tabs like on the same line, but that's also pretty useful when tabs will have that.
It looks way better than what is it, ultimatetabs.com, where in
ultimate
the corner,
guitar, don't be dissing ultimate guitar. Oh, what in the corner where you've got the person playing acoustic guitar when you're trying to learn Through the Fire and the Flames
it's just they automatically just like add the title of the tab that you've got into the video, and you're like, I'm sure I've clicked on it once going, oh, that'd be really handy. And then going, wait a second, this is definitely not the song that I learned. Actually, Songster looks pretty good. It looks like Guitar Pro, but without having to pay for the expensive software.
Yeah, I think there are like versions that are paid where it lets you do some like additional features. But, you know, if you're just looking for something a bit better than like an ASCII diagram in a text file or something like that, you know, that you can be like, oh, this is neat. But yeah, like being able to like play along with like MIDI backing is, you know, pretty good if you're there and you just want to like, I mean, if you can play along with MIDI, you can play along with the actual album, right? Like I think so. It's pretty good. I like it.
Let's go. I'm on the website now. Any difficulty? Advanced, obviously. Cliffs of Dover. Eruption by Van Halen. Oh, it's blank. I know. No, it's just taking time to load. Oh.
This is the run. This is the being John Malkovich episode of the Guitarist podcast.
This looks great. I can't believe I've never seen this before. I used it. There's even a tab for Eruption. Like you say, it's not just someone who's done it in a Word document and then drawn a picture of a smiley face.
Yeah. I think they actually, they also like function as sort of like an aggregator as well. So it'll be like, they sort of will take tabs from other sources and be like, oh, here's this from like Big Bass Tabs or some of the other places that exist out there that are more of the text document ones.
Let's see. Oh, bloody lovely.
Really cool. I've never used it at all. I think I'm actually, you know, going to
try and find
a functional use for this.
Yeah, I can't wait to load up one song that we want to learn, give up after 10 minutes, and then go back to playing the pentatonic scale. Does this 4-4 stand for?
Have you ever had any polymath tabs show up on any tab websites?
I've never actually looked for them. I think it's unlikely. We've had bands cover our stuff before. Like there was a Belgian band. I was trying to remember their name now, but I can't remember their name. But there was a Belgian band who were like a piano and drums band, a bit like Go-Go Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked out a version of our songs into their set. And they were, you know, they were quite well to do. They were bigger than we were. So that was pretty fun. And I remember, Matt, you sent me over a video of when you were in Japan at Boss, of one of the fellas at Boss. One of the guys who makes the pedals, he'd worked out a polymath song, and he was
that
just
was
playing
so
it.
Weird. Yeah, he was like, "Ah, oh, you're friends with Joe." I was like, "Yeah, unfortunately." And he went, "Oh, I love polymath," and then proceeded to bust out that polymath song that you recorded for the MS3 video. And I think you still owe them some merch, Joe. Probably send that over.
Yeah, I probably
I think should. He wanted it signed as well. He wanted a signed EP from the Polymath team to this guy in Japan. So they need to make that happen.
Well, yeah, we actually do. I should do that. You should get me his details. I'll send him some stuff. I've just got, you know,
I will do
it here. but yeah, but I tell you, speaking of kind of safe space saving stuff, I know it was a while ago now that Matt talked about not having room, but space saving and talking about making more music, Matt. I was going to start talking about, like, each week, just mention to the listeners, a new plugin that I think is worth checking out. You know, just briefly for those of you who are recording. So this week, I picked up a copy of Audio Assault, their Duality Bass Studio, which is very, very good. So it's a bass suite designed for rock and metal. It's $50, but it's currently down to $6.66.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
But it's really good, like a really thorough studio. I know, like, it's only a couple of weeks we've spoken about that, the Waves Ampeg plugin, and that's actually free. And it is very, very good, but it's also very simple. Like, that Ampeg plugin, for example, just has bass, treble, and a master, and then you get a few presets. And it's, you know, it's just the... I think there are two cabs. I think you can choose between a 410 and a 15 or an 810. But, you know, it's still... It sounds excellent, that Ampeg one, but it's very, very slimmed down and simple, which is fine if that's what you want. But this is kind of the opposite. The Duality Bass Studio Suite is very, very thorough. So you get a three-channel bass head. You then get a separate parallel... it's a bass drive, but there are several options. So that bass drive, you could make it a Marshall guitar rig that you are blending into your bass signal, for example. Or there are loads of kind of simple bass tones. And I think kind of blending is the thing with this, because not only do you have a three-channel head, which allows you to blend sounds as well as just, you know, using one of them, then you've got the bass drive module, which allows you to blend in whatever sounds you're creating from there. It then has an effects rack where you've got, like, two EQs, a chorus, a delay, and a reverb, which you can... you can use that EQ to extend kind of the tonal range that the amp's capable of. And again, with all of those things, you can blend each one individually into your overall sound. And then just to top it off, on the cab side of things, they have a dual cab suite on there. And the IRs, you can also upload your own, but it comes with a huge range of IRs, including some great Ampeg cabs, some great Hartke cabs, and even some Zilla cabs on there. And you can select your first and your second cab, the mic that you're miking up that cab with, and then you can blend between cab A and cab B, which I think is a fantastic amount of tone shaping. For a plugin, like a really great tool if you want to get really specific. The Ampeg is a fantastic tool if you just want to sound good out of the box. If you really want to hone a tone, then I really think it's very, very good. But yes, Audio Assault, audio-assaults.com, and the Duality Bass Studio, very, very worth picking up. It's sold or promoted as being a full bass amp suite for rock and metal. But, you know, I mean, I was playing a Squire Bronco strung up with flats, and I thought I was able to get some pretty nice traditional tones out there. It had a single 18 Ampeg cab, and I thought with that in mind, I was able to, yeah, just get some really traditional sounding tones as well.
Yeah, I would say, like, I have the plugin as well, and I think a lot, the cab sims all sound like what you would expect for the option you pick. Like that there's Ashdown and Trace Elliott cabs on there as well that I was both like, yeah, that gives me the, like, a Trace Elliott vibe or the Ashdown vibe. Like, I was surprised at how good it was and flexible. And it normally, like, metal-y, like, rocky, like, just super distorted bass isn't my vibe, but it's like, it's great to, for me, like, to have this plugin that, like, gives me the sound of something else that I don't have with my, like, my traditional setup of how I want my bass to sound. And it's like, yeah, I really, I mean, even for 50 US, like I think this is a no-brainer plugin. Like I really like it. The other thing I think is dope is the effects, like you were talking about, is that a lot of times when you're adding the effects, like they'll start with the mix all the way at zero. You know, I don't know if you noticed that with like the delays and reverb, so that it's like, so that one, it's sort of telling you to like bring it in slowly, or, you know, like just sort of like blend to taste, as opposed to just sort of start it. Like a lot of the other ones, like some of the IK multimedias and things, you'll do those and they'll just be like, mixes at 100% and you go from like a normal tone to like this super huge washed out reverb tone just by adding it. You then have to deal it back. I just thought it was a really interesting design choice that I really enjoyed working with. I thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I think really well designed, really thorough, and I just think there's everything on there. And I kind of agree. I don't necessarily use those sort of modern rock and metal tones, but I really like having it there as kind of an option for something, you know, rather than just slapping a drive on my normal kind of quite traditional bass plugin. I can, you know, I now have option to a suite that's really designed around aggressive bass. But
One other thing to call out too is like the Duality runs as a standalone app as well. So you don't have to run it in a DAW if you don't want. Like you can just like plug into your laptop and run through that standalone app and have all the tones you want. Like if you're just playing or rehearsing, you just want to like run through some stuff. Like I think the standalone app is also quite cool.
Yeah, definitely. I like it when plugins allow you to use it as a practice piece of equipment as well as just running it through your DAW. A really cool bit of gear. Kind of speaking about Broncos, we had, of course, we've mentioned on the podcast that the Bass Guitar Nerds we're gonna be doing this Bronco Modageddon thing. We're not calling it that, but the three Broncos turned up the other day, the three Squire Broncos, so one for Naomi, one for JD, and one for me. So, you know, I already just sort of off the back, because Matt, you know, same as you, and we've spoken about it a few times, but I also have one of those McNelly pickups, which I'm actually saving for my Fender Music Master, my 1977 Music Master, but I'm still waiting on a plate for the Music Master. I was like, well, whilst I'm waiting, I'll fit the McNelly into a Bronco. So I did that, popped the McNelly in, popped a set of Labella flats. And one thing I did was, you know, get a second Bronco out and try that with the Bronco pickup. My goodness, it sounds awful. It's just out of the box. Like, because it's still a Strat pickup. Like, you take that plate off and look at the back and it's still the six pole pieces. But perfect for beginners. It's totally fine. But, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's also a, whatever it is, £150 bass. So I'm not expecting any different. But I was like, oh, this is a terrible sounding bass. The neck, incredibly comfortable, very playable, really nice. Surprisingly thick and deep, like the Music Master necks. I don't know, I just expected it to be a little bit more, you know, slim. But it was really nice neck. And I could not believe the difference. This just the McNelly pickup with the James's Home of Tone harness made, and of course, you know, a set of like whatever 50 quid Labella flats on there, but I was like, this sounds as good as anything else I own that costs thousands of pounds.
So the set of strings cost one third of the cost of the actual bass.
That's true, yeah. But I was just like, I haven't been able to put it down all week. I mean, the McNelly pickup isn't what I'll use for the mod mode, which is why I don't mind talking about it on this episode, but my goodness, that pickup's incredible. Like a really, really good. I can't believe the substantial amount of difference that it has made. It's turned that thing into a completely pro quality instrument.
Yeah, it's I can't speak highly enough of that pickup and that combination. Now I just need to get the vintage P bass ashtray cover for the bridge, and
I've got a couple of those actually kicking around. I've got one right next to me here.
Oh, send it my way. You don't need it.
I like palm muting too much at the moment. I've been listening to too much of the Last of the Shadow Puppets and the most recent Arctic Monkeys record, which their bass player has an old short scale Burns, and he's basically palm muting with a plectrum the whole way through, and it's just that vintage 60s sort of really swaggerful bass tone. I'm very into that at the moment.
But, nice.
There you go. Anyway, we should talk about some news and some things. Oh yes, JD, I'll get that Bronco out to you, and you can start to have a think about what you're going to do to yours, about what pickups you're going to cut into it. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that podcast series. It's going to be wonderful. But yes, let's do some news. Matt Knight, why don't we kick things off with you? Your call.
All right. Well, why don't we start with fuzz? Because we were going to talk about one of these things last week, and we never got round to it. It seems to be a very fuzzy month. Obviously, Boss released their Tone Bender. I had to put a lot of work into that. All gone, sold out in half a day in Europe, which was pretty amazing. And then hot off the heels, two other fuzz pedals. So we'll start with. Let's start with Electro Harmonix have added yet another pedal to their insane company catalog. Oh, I think I first saw this posted in one of the forums and just assumed it was another one of their weird leaks where someone had got hold of a product catalog or something that had just sort of never really happened, and then saw the official video. They seem to flip between doing a video with someone who works at Electro Harmonix and then Bill Rupert, who is one of the most legendary demo people. His Electro Harmonix demos are incredible. So they have released the Ripped Speaker. So this is based or inspired by the kind of really early fuzz sound. So think the Kinks,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I was watching a different, bizarrely enough, a different video that was a little bit older about that sound. And I think between a few members in the band, no one has got a real account of what. Someone says it happened one way. Someone says it happened a different way. Someone says it was intentional. Someone said they did it by accident. But effectively, a pen or pencil or some other sort of device ripped the cone of the speaker in the amp they were recording when they did You Really Got Me. And that kind of inspired this kind of legendary fuzz sound, which wasn't actually a fuzz pedal, it was a ripped speaker. And that's where Electro Harmonix have come up with this design. So you've got volume, tone, fuzz, and rip. So the rip control is basically a bias control that sets the amount of clipping to the top and bottom of the waveform. So the more you turn it up clockwise, the harder the effect, the things get more spluttery. I'd imagine that, yeah, effectively they're doing it with biasing. So how much of power is going to the circuit? I haven't got a price, but $99.
It's like 100 quid or something.
I
watched the video of this
cheap.
And actually I thought it sounded really good. I mean, you know, I'm well known for my general dislike of fuzz as a fuzz. Kind of as a standard, but actually when you kind of turned down the rip and turned down the fuzz side of it, it sounded really good. You know, it did get, you could make it sound really spluttery and horrible and, you know, to the point where I don't understand why anyone wants their guitar to sound like that. But you could also make it sound like just kind of a cool drive pedal. And yeah, I find it absolutely mad that this pedal didn't come out 10 years ago. This doesn't seem like a 2021 pedal. This feels like something that would have come out in like 2010 or something like that.
I think it's
Matt. Or like when like they brought out all of those, like the East River Drive and the Analogizer and all those other pedals that came out around that sort of time. That's what this feels like. But it's cool. I mean, yeah, like I say, the video is really good. They're on the official EHX demo, they play it with a Soul Food as well, which is, you know, a pedal that seems to have disappeared into obscurity. But bloody hell, what a great sounding drive. So yeah, I'm keen to hear one of these because I think it was I think it sounded good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah. Soul Food was a great sounding drive. Yeah.
I mean, it was everywhere for, you know, 18 months or so. And then
the first of the clones.
Well, yeah, it was one of the first. That and, like, the J-Rocket Archer were the two kind of first widely available clone-style overdrives. And, you know, it came, if you remember, we were fighting for it for Gear of the Year. I only missed out on Gear of the Year in 2013, I think, to the Deco.
That's a worthwhile pedal to lose out to, I think. As well.
Yeah. I with, you know, the benefit of 8 years hindsight, I've just about calmed down. So that's, you know. But the base Soul Food again was what kind of overshadowed the Soul Food for me. Because you had a blend control. And I thought it sounded great with the guitar, but yeah, you don't really see many Soul Foods nowadays, and it's a shame because it's a wicked pedal. But yeah, like I say, this that and the Rip Speaker together, I thought sounded absolutely fan-bloody-tastico.
I preferred the bass Soul Food with guitar. I didn't really like it with bass. It was just a bit too... For me, it still sounded like you were putting a guitar drive, you know, on a bass. It was just very, very mid-heavy, like too much, really, really mid-focused. But on a guitar, I think you're probably right. It probably was that blend control, but it was just, it seemed very dynamic, very sort of rich and full-bodied. What a great pedal.
£70 Soul Food. It's not very much money, is it?
That's great. Yeah. Still a great
really,
pedal.
Really good. Yeah, great
Still
pedal.
Still a great pedal. And yet, on the other side of things, Benson have released a new fuzz, Germanium fuzz, without the fuss. So basically, what is very cool here is they are claiming the first fuzz pedal with automatic thermal bias technology. So
thermal bias technology.
Yes. So basically germanium transistors are very, very sensitive, and they are generally sensitive to things like heat, which is why, you know, you'll get some vintage fuzz pedals that will sound really good in the morning and might sound terrible in the evening, or might sound different from gig to gig. And that is can be down to a number of things, but generally down to temperature. So what they've done is built in a circuit that basically regulates the temperature of the transistor through the power supply. So it's always set to like an ideal bias, basically. So it always sounds the same, which is a good thing, especially when, you know, you like the sound of a germanium fuzz, or, you know, an old fuzz face or something similar. But yeah, it always sounds very, very different. What they've also done on top of that is they have installed a buffer in the front end, which basically feeds a passive pickup simulator. So that what that means is that you can put the fuzz pedal anywhere in your pedal chain. So fuzz pedals, especially germanium ones, are super sensitive to input impedance, which means that they have to be the first pedal in your chain. They don't work after active pickups, for example. And depending on how they're placed in the chain or what might come after them might also affect the sound. So they've basically fixed all of those problems in this fuzz pedal. There was another fuzz pedal that came out a number of years ago by a company called Kingtone that had a little light that when you biased, set the bias control, it lit up when it was in an optimal range. But effectively, this one is doing it completely for you. So yeah, just volume and gain and then an impedance control so you can match it to the rest of your pedal board. But yes, very, very cool. Nice
this
to see.
Is very cool.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great idea, especially for people who love that sort of 60s fuzz sound but want something that's a little bit more stable. So yeah, they say the pedal is designed to operate between freezing and 100 degrees Fahrenheit. JD, what is that in normal people's temperature?
100 degrees Fahrenheit would be roughly 40.
Oh, okay, yeah, it doesn't get that.
Far too
doesn't
hot.
Doesn't get that. Far too hot, I mean.
Oh, it's nothing.
Stay out of this desert, boy. we're in rain and snowland here. Well, actually, it's not been snow for ages, is it? It's very windy, though. This is, yeah. We like ambient temperatures of, you know, between 7 and 11 degrees.
Yeah.
I was getting excited that it's supposed to be 14 on the weekend.
I mean, I went out for a run in -3. It was
lovely.
Bad. I mean, it was good because you feel like Rocky. You feel really like, yeah, I'm out in the weather, you know, and I'm against the odds. And then you get home, and you're like, I hurt.
Yeah, the only I went out a couple of days ago and it was cold. The coldest run that I did was when I went to visit my girlfriend's family for Christmas one year. So we were in Philadelphia at Christmas, and I did 5K in -11, which was just like the worst thing I'd ever experienced. But it was great fun. It's great fun.
Yeah, it's all good when you come back and you say I did it. But not
yeah,
good when
I avoided going to going for a run when I was in Palm Springs a couple of years ago when it was like 43 degrees or something. When JD, did you moved over at that point? Were you still?
No, I would have been there, I think.
Yeah, of course, yeah, because we were going to try and meet up, weren't we? And it just didn't work out because I was there for about 45 minutes or something. Ferocious. I just don't know how you, what do you do? You just exercise in like the mornings or something?
Yeah, a lot of it's, I mean, because it's usually only that hot for a couple hours about of the day. But yeah, like there's a lot of like early mornings or like late at night because it's, you know, at night it'll still be, you know, 30 degrees, which 32 is about my perfect temperature in Palm Springs. But I mean, you know, here when we had those 3 days of low 30s and everyone almost died, you know,
because we have no air conditioning here.
Yeah. Well, and like, yeah, like my place now is like only has windows on one side. You know, so it's just like there's no breeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you understand the pain.
Yeah. But whatever the temperature, you can use this fuzz pedal with optimal performance.
Thank you, Matt, for taking us away from the weather chat.
I've never tried the Benson Preamp. The only time I've played any Benson products is in the Chase Bliss Preamp Mark II. The Benson preamp is obviously
fantastic. So this is going to be, I mean, by all the demos, sounds really good. You know, as long as you're prepared to wait the 2 to 3 minutes for an average sound correction, which I'm sure most of you are, then no problem. It's basically got an internal heater by the sounds of it that basically keeps these things at optimal temperature. So pretty fancy.
Any idea on a price, Matty?
$299. I just think it's a shame that, as far as I'm aware, I'm not sure where you can get them in rainy old England. because I just don't see enough of their amps. I want to see more of the amps over this way. By the looks of it, I'm only seeing Guitar Box. Anyone heard of Guitar Box in the UK? Anderson's are a dealer, but I don't know if they stock the amps. But I just think, I always see Blake, in his fancy Portland, talking about all these fancy people there making fancy gear. And he's got instant access to it. We've got none of it. I'd be super keen to try it. I'll tell you what he doesn't have, though.
He doesn't have a house with windows only on one side. Have that.
No air conditioning.
Yeah, have that.
Although I think Portland weather-wise is probably pretty similar to
it's
England, I guess. Maybe slightly hotter. And also you can buy it from Five Star Guitars in Beaverton, which I think is a fantastic name for a town.
It is a strong name. A strong name indeed. Now, moving on to the next thing. I'm kind of a big fan of like floorboard amplifiers. Certainly, as I've got so into things like the Boss GT1000, the Line 6 Helix, I think floorboard amplifiers are a wonderful way to kind of bring all those digital amp solutions into something where you can take a cab, to a gig when there are gigs again, and get the most out of it. And kind of the next brand to join the floor amplification market are Hughes and Kettner, JD.
So Hughes and Kettner's came out with their pedal amplifier, two versions of it, using the Spirit Tone Generator technology, which I don't know. I haven't looked at much of it about, but I know it's all analog, which is great. And it really looks like a really updated version of their Tube Man, which I don't know if you had ever used it, or Valve Sir, as I think it would probably be called here. I don't know if you played those, but those were, I used to have a couple of those for various reasons, and they're always great for sort of doing direct guitar stuff. So these, these Ant-Man are two channel amps, 50 watts into 4 ohms. So if you're running, 4 ohm cabs, like 50 watts there. But the thing that I really think is great is they have their cab sims. So the red box technology, like Hughes and Kettner, is one of the first to really nail that, besides Sans Amp or Sans Amp.
Yeah, the first to be like professionally viable.
Yeah, like they were, so you're getting like tried and trusted technologies out of it. Plus like H&K amps like always sound really great. And I always find that they're a brand that like I always like everything they put out, but I never, like they're never really first of mind when I'm thinking about what to sort of go to. And I think like this may be a pretty good option, just to have one of those, like a compact two channel pedal with amps. Certainly if you're chuck it on your pedal board, and same thing we talk about all the times with these, and then go play a small gig, or like in your just trying to do some sort of light recording at home. It's great to have if you have a small cab to mic it up, and or use the cab sims as well, just to get like really a different feel for that.
I love that it's all analog as well. That's such a great advantage over a lot of the competition.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, just everything like the switches. I think there's 4 switches on them. So they have a channel select, boost. You have a effects loop on it as well. So you can run everything in and around. Also the switch is for taking that effects loop in and out, which is great. And then just, general like solo, which is really just a boost, it feels like. But I think these are excellent little things. Plus they look quite cool. And they're only about 2.5 pounds, weight wise. So 1.5 kilo. And it's just sort of, perfect size to sort of chuck in a gig bag. If nothing else, I've had several of those sort of like amp in a box kind of like preamps that are just great in case something happens to like a main rig, or, first when gigs are a thing again, obviously, but being able to to have like your tone or a tone that you know well that you can just take a direct out into whatever else is going there is pretty great. And being able to, you know, run these into the, you know, effects return of like a bigger amp or something like that, and just, you know, bypassing whatever preamp you're getting from like a backline head, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was trying to understand what the difference is between, because obviously I think it must have been late 2019 they released their Black Spirit range, and then I think last year they had the Spirit Nanos, the Spirit of Rock, Spirit of Metal, Spirit of Vintage, and the Black Spirit 200 also came in a floor version, which was very similar to this, and I'm trying to sort of understand maybe
was the
where
Black
some
Spirit
of the
very metal voiced though.
I think it was more, maybe it was more of their sort of high gain voice. I'm guessing this. Yeah. Amp, but then again, they've done an Amp Man Classic and an Amp Man Modern.
Yeah. Oh, is that what the difference is? I was going to ask what the two versions were.
I think one is more gain, but it's similar because they've both got Redbox on the output. They've both got speaker outs. I was just trying to have a look at how their website is sort of listing them.
I was just pulling it up. Because I initially I didn't realize there was the difference between like the modern and classic, but yeah, it does. I think the classic is one is getting those, you know, like lower gain amps. Cause that, I mean, that is a thing like the Cusick Kettner amps. Like you, it's like, I know people that have them for very clean tones and then people that run them for very distinctive metal tones.
Yeah.
Where everything is super high gain and gated, you know, like that sort of vibe, and
for sure. This is really cool. 349 in euros as well, as a price point. That's pretty good. This is pretty sharp. This is a great product.
Yeah, I kind of, one thing that, you know, puts a lot of people off is, you know, no valves and this, that, and the other, but a similar product to this is the Blue guitar from Thomas Blug. And every time I've seen him at a show, be it NAMM or I saw him do a thing at Larvik Guitar Festival a couple of years ago, and he only ever plays his, usually I think he tours or travels with his vintage signature, but he has an original 60s Strat. And he just that into his, the Blue guitar and then into PA. And his tone is always just amazing. So I've got no doubt that this Amp Man will be it. This appeals to me more than the Black Spirit. I don't know if it's a cosmetic thing or what, but I didn't realize that, yeah, the original Amp Man came out in 1991 and they'd been making the Redbox since 1989.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. I had no idea about that. That's crazy.
So yeah, I mean that's pretty amazing. And Redbox is actually a really great little product. But yeah, this little tube, man, even that looks funky. I'm into that, that early 90s design. But these look great. I think as a pedal board, you know, so many people now are just building small pedal boards with an amp on it, basically, and just going, I'll just plug straight into a PA.
Why not? I mean, yeah, the thing that I think, I mean, so the dual channel, like, but being able to have like master volumes and then like general like volume, tone, gain, there's like a sagging control, presence, resonance for each separate channel is just such a cool, like such a cool thing to have, and just so flexible, so you can really dial in a really nice, like if we're thinking about like the classic something, dialing in like a really nice clean tone and then having like a really gnarly distorted tone just from this, let alone all the other drives and everything else you're likely to have, or any of the fuzzes, like the new EHS fuzz or the Benson fuzz that we just talked about. I think these are super cool, look great.
Well priced. Well done, Cusick Kettner. We never talk about Cusick Kettner, but this looks
and like a great product. I should say too, they have a built-in noise gate, which I didn't say. So again, so if you are doing like the like on the modern one, there's a noise gate that you can put on there as well. So if you want to go ridiculously high gain and have, you know, feedback just from, you know, your unshielded instrument cable, then like go for it. And there's a noise gate that'll take care of it for you. Also, a noise gate feels very early 90s.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. Yeah,
it does. Oh, well, a cool product from Hughes and Kettner. Now, Jay Cross, I cannot remember the last time I've seen you get excited about a new release guitar. But this week, you were very quick to get excited about a couple of new products.
Yeah, I was. And that was kind of before I saw the price. So I have tempered back a little bit. But that aside, I do think it's worth talking a little bit about the new Rickenbacker models. So they are completely and utterly bananas. So first up, we've got the Rickenbacker 480XC.
So this is a 90th anniversary.
To celebrate the 90th anniversary, which I'm sure JD can tell us about, because you started around then, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, roughly. Yeah, so it was around 31.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, a couple of years. Okay. Yeah. So the 480XC, which is their new guitar, and the 4005XC, which is their new bass. And the thing that's cool about this is what they've done is they've taken the shape of one of their basses, the iconic 4003, and turned it into a guitar. And that's what has become the 480XC. And then the 330, I always get the two mixed up. This is a 330, isn't it? 360 is the curvy one, 330 is the angular one. Right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sorry, yeah. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot there, Jay.
Yeah, no.
I know it's
no.
been, you know, 88 years since you worked
there.
So. Yeah. they've taken the shape of the 330 and turned that into a bass. And I just think they look incredible, especially the guitar, which appeals to me in the way that the Ibanez Iceman did when I first saw Darren Malakian playing one in one of those System of a Down videos in like 2001 or whatever. I just think it looks absolutely incredible. It's weird and angular, but it's unlike guitars, which generally are kind of weird and angular. It still very much looks like a guitar, as opposed to a car that Homer has designed, you know, essentially. I just think it looks, they just look amazing. So in the guitar, you've got the classic toaster pickup, which is what you would expect to find in one of the Rickenbackers like this. Available in tobacco glow, which is a new finish to me, as far as I can remember. And then also jet glow, which is, of course, their iconic black with the like shark fin inlays. And then the bass comes in a, again, the jet glow and the fire glow finish, the iconic fire glow finish. And you've got to see these, because it looks like someone has teleported you into a parallel dimension, and everything is exactly the same except for these two guitars, which are completely the wrong way around, and they look amazing.
Now this, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, they sort of, in the best way possible, look like when you're watching cartoons and you see like a guitar or bass player, and they like, it's clear the animator just Googled guitar and drew like it looks like it's someone's like, why does that bass have six strings? And why does that guitar have four strings? Like, it very much like you would see like on like Rick and Morty or The Simpsons or something.
Yeah. But it's got like that kind of future retro design to it. It's like, which is such a difficult thing to do. You know, it looks very familiar, but it is so strikingly different. I can't get over how good the 480XC guitar looks. I just think it's incredible. Now, it is worth pointing out, they are a lot of money. The press release that I saw, well, the first bit of information I saw about this suggested that they were $3,599. But actually, having seen them, I think what's happened there is someone has just converted the price from dollars. Having looking at them when they're actually in shops, they're looking closer to $5,000, which is a lot of money. But I just think they look absolutely amazing. They really just look so astonishing. And you've absolutely got to go and check it out.
No, it's not the first time Rick and Becker have made that 4003 shape as a guitar, right? Mm. That's existed before.
Yeah, I think like there's loads of stuff like in sort of the what's referred to as the Rickenbacker Museum, you know, which is like John Hall's office as I knew it. I don't know, it might be someone else's now, but it was basically like at least one model of every guitar and bass they had ever made. So like a lot of these things, I'm like, oh, these look familiar, but I can't quite place it whether or not it was out for the public or not.
You're right, Joe. The 480 is a model that existed in the 70s.
Yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, because you could get the there was a Fakenbacker RG550, a Japanese one that I see coming up quite a lot, which is a guitar version of it. And whilst I'd not seen the Rickenbacker version of it, I was like, this can't exist without there being one to copy in the first place.
1973 to 1984 was when the 480 originally existed. I had no idea about this. This is completely new to me. And I'm sorry to tell you, Joe, that the one that I'm looking at here on Reverb, it's not mist, but it is burgundy. It looks truly incredible. It looks more like it's like a red wine color. Oh god, the back as well, bloody hell, this is what a great looking guitar. That's all I can say about this. Absolutely fan bloody tastic.
I appreciate that this is, you know, the 90th anniversary, and that's why these are, the prices of these are obviously quite so high. They're quite a limited edition, exclusive sort of thing. But, man, it's a shame that they're not just introducing these into the standard line and then we're, you know, able to pick them up for, you know, the sort of $2,000 mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. They may do, because you look at these, like, they all have. So you look at some of the older stuff, like there's some, like, especially in the basses, they've done the sort of 330, 360 semi-hollow bodies kind of before. But like, you look at this one, it's a 330 body shape with checkerboard binding, with a lot of crushed pearl inlay. So like a lot of the high end, like, treatments that they use on some of their, like, on the limited edition. But I could absolutely see something like this, if, you know, these will go well. Like, these were all sell out before we probably even get a chance to know that they're on sale. Like, these are probably sold out 3 years ago. But like, it's one of those things that, like, to think about, it's like, oh, that's so cool. And like, one of the things that I've been really impressed in the last couple years with Rickenbacker is that they are starting to do something different than they've done before. And like, even if it's reintroducing like old models and some stuff that still feels there, like, you know, like a lot of the boutique stuff, they've done different finishes. Like, I've seen some like of the Rickenbacker boutique where they'll have like, you know, purple and green and different blues and stuff. And it's interesting because it feels like there's something bubbling under the surface of like, oh, why don't we just do these? These are great. Let's put these out. Let's just give people what they want.
Yeah.
You know, because I would absolutely, you know, it's like, have a 4001, have a 4003, have, you know, like all the different basses that are there. I mean, like, cause they all have different vibes, are all great. It's just, it really interesting to see.
Yeah. I think it's very much a watch this space with Rickenbacker at the moment. They, of course, released that signature bass recently as well, not too long ago.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember.
Well, and also the five string basses with that sort of like the triangle pickup, the pickup that looks like the inlays.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's going to be, it will be interesting to see what Rickenbacker do next. Now we are coming up to the end of this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I realized right at the start, I forgot to introduce this week's new patrons.
That's not like you, Joe.
So we've got two new top tier backers, two new $10 patrons this week. So, you know, thank you very much to John Conaway and to Eric Vaughan for joining us at that top tier. Look forward to, you know, your name featuring in the song at the end.
Bam. What a couple of legends.
What a couple of legends indeed. I might record a new song soon. I've got this real sort of like Blink-182-esque song at the end, but I think I might try and make something new maybe this week. We'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But
we should talk about your recording and mastering escapades of this week on the
over on the Patreon.
Yeah,
we will. Yes, we're going
to
talk
the
about
the sad story of a boy who refuses to pay someone to do some work for him.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this incredible new, very affordable old blood utility thing, and we'll take some questions from the group as well over on our Patreon special episode. You can join us over there and you can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At the dollar tier, you'll get this episode ad free and early every week. $5 will get you access to the Patreon special episodes and our entire back catalog, and $10 gets you the lot. Plus, I'll sing you my thanks at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks very much for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Drew, Ian Manning, Russell Healy, Kristen Abbott, Alan Yogi, the guitarist, Carl Harris, Cloud Lifter, Todd Simons, Joe Hubbard, Sean Hughes, Brian Hanson, Shane M, Jeffrey West, Eric Hemmer, Samuel Frost, Brian Iza, Kevin Vandalinda, Jacob Vicky, Andy Manley, Scott Hutting, Robert Butterworth, Simon Billboard, Marcus Al Kadawaki, Stuart Robson, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Michael McVeigh, Eric File, Ryan McDermott, Barry Peters, Joe Puttick, Richard Selkworth, Jack Cutlock, Ed Sayers, Abe Matthews, Kytopia, The Band, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Rob Gruhl, Tucker Abbott, Eddie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Wyland, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Norfitt, Steve Mark on JD Short, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Robert Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, and Rube Grant.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.